You're listening to the Swim Out Podcast, a show about the wonderful world of outdoor swimming.
Hello, Hunter.
Hello, Vicky.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Swim Out Podcast and our last episode of 2020 and the current series.
Coming up on today's show, we're going ice swimming.
It's almost like an accelerated experience. Take the English Channel and put it in 30 minutes.
We speak to the fastest man to ever take on the ice mile.
I felt only good conditions in my head and it was good, it was nice.
And surviving hypothermia in the North Channel.
When I'm staying in the middle of the ocean, over there nobody cares that you are rich or not, which is your religion. It's only things which is important, how much do you want it?
Plus, we're hearing from listeners around the world about their extraordinary experience of ice swimming.
Speaking of extraordinary swimmers battling sub-zero temperatures, I thought we'd kick off the show with a voice note sent in by one to watch on the ice mile scene.
Hi, my name is Jamie Monahan. I'm from New York, New York, USA. I live here on Manhattan Island, surrounded by skyscrapers, but I've traveled the world to swim in almost every type of water, including endurance solo swims as long as 45 hours in duration, nonstop, and distances up to 114 miles. My other passion is ice and winter swimming, including the ice mile, which is a personal challenge of swimming a British mile in water under 5 degrees Celsius. This swim must be done in just a textile swimsuit, cap, goggles, and earplugs. No grease, no wetsuits. A few years ago, I was the first person to complete the Ice Sevens Challenge, which is an ice mile on every continent, including a polar mile and an Ice Zero mile, which is a mile swum in water below 1 degree Celsius. I've swum for 30 minutes at a time in water at 0 degrees and air temperatures of down to negative 30, some of the coldest swims ever recorded. Nothing can compare to my memories of swimming in Antarctica. The water there is like liquid mercury. We were surrounded by massive ice formations, these icebergs made of glacial ice that is often thousands of years old. On one swim, I was joined by playful penguins frolicking at my feet as I swam in that crystal clear, almost silky cold water. And then there is a sense of calm and quiet that sets in during a long, cold swim. We have to be so focused in cold water. All of the little distractions of life get totally drowned out. No email messages, no conference calls, no requests from people needing something urgently. Just us in the water, pure sensation, and everything else is secondary.
What a clip to start off the show. I loved the bit where she described swimming in Antarctica like mercury and the penguins all around her.
We definitely need to get Jamie back on in series two.
Yeah, absolutely. That was all too brief. So perhaps we can hopefully invite you for a formal interview next series, Jamie. Please do join us. I gather that you're kind of interested in taking on the ice mile this winter, Vicky. How's that going?
I've been building it up and building it up.
How long have you been thinking about it for?
Well, just this year, really. When my reservoir stayed open, actually, that's what's made it possible, really. Having a reservoir in somewhere that I can practice really easily, that makes it possible. Yeah, and you kind of get that, you get into that thrill, that excitement.
Have you got down into the ice temperatures, or are you still in the nice temperatures?
Well, I don't know about nice temperatures. The lowest I've been is 5.4. How about you, Hunter? Have you been swimming at all?
Yeah, no, I've been hitting up the Lido a little bit. It's been getting down to kind of 5 or 6 degrees, but yeah, no, I'm mainly looking forward to going home up to the northeast in Newcastle and getting in my river. Getting in the River Tyne and doing some real brown swimming, really getting acquainted with the murk over Christmas. So that's kind of what I'm holding out for, I think.
I think you always like the murk, don't you, Hunter?
I can't get enough of the murk.
So, Hunter, who have you been speaking to this month?
Well, Vicky, I spoke to the founder of the International Ice Swimming Association, Ram Bakai, over Zoom from his home in Cape Town.
The organisation was formed in 2009 with a vision of formalising and promoting cold water swimming. To date, there are fewer than 400 members of the Ice Mile Club, 378 to be precise.
Ram swum nearly a dozen ice miles now, but he began by telling me about swimming in Antarctica and when he first realised the full potential of this sport.
In 2008, I suddenly got an email about a trip to Antarctica. I said, I'd love to come. On one condition, can I swim? And luckily, they were very game and they said, why not? And it wasn't as simple as that. Took about 2 years in planning. Ended up in Antarctica and I swam. I did a kilometer and I thought, ooh, I can do more. As much as I was petrified, I realized if anything goes wrong, it's probably where I'm going to end. But it went well. I realized I can do more. And then a year later, I went to do a swim in Lake Zurich with a friend of mine, and he swam a kilometer. And I swam about 2.3 kilometers.
Did you go into that swim wanting, did you have a set distance target in mind?
So bear in mind, it was 2009, and we knew very little, almost nothing about ice swimming. So after Antarctica, I said, okay, I've done Antarctica, I've done a kilometer at about 0 degree. So having studied computers and mathematics, I said, okay, well, I can do probably a kilometer at about 0 to 1, 2 kilometer between 1 to 2, 3 kilometer between 2 to 3 degrees Celsius. So I thought the water temperature is 4, let's do 3 kilometer. I didn't really think about how long it take gonna take me and what does it mean in terms of spending time in the water. And then the night before, we just walked the course along the lake, like 3 kilometer up and 3 kilometer back. And we said, this is seriously long. Even just walking, it was long. So we decided to shorten it to 2.3. There was a good place to start. And I didn't really think much of it. Yeah, ignorance is a bliss in some ways. That I was just going to swim, basically, until I get on the other side. I didn't think about recovery and pain. And I got in and I swam. I felt fine until I start feeling not fine. In Lake Zurich, I had 4 boats. And I had a med professor in extreme sport as my second. And he counted my strokes and gave me a thumb up. And we agreed. I told him, I'm going to do almost 2.5 times in the last swim. I'm going to swim until you give me a thumb down, basically out. And I basically swam all the way. And as long as he gave me a thumb up, the last 50 meter were a little bit dark. In Lake Zurich, the finish is just under a bridge. So you kind of go under a bridge, the boat can't go there. It's very dark and deep, and it's basically the last 50 meter. So a diver jumped behind me, kind of to swim behind me in case I decide to stop swimming. Yeah, it was very surreal. When I finished, I was basically on the edge of not necessarily of physical ability, of physical existence, if I can say that. It was probably about after about 1.5 kilometer, 1.7 kilometer, I started to feel that sinking feeling. But I managed to get to the end. Yeah.
I just wanted to briefly ask you about saline water. And obviously seawater can get below freezing or below zero. Does it begin to freeze around sort of -2, -3? And what's that like? Have you ever gone down sub-zero?
I've done sub-zero a few times. Most swims in Antarctica, you should expect between 0 to sub-0. And you're not going to get above zero. Where you feel the difference in my experience, not professionally, is in your arms, your hands, your toes, your extremities, because the plasma in our body, which, I don't know, we are about 60, 70, maybe more percent liquid in our body, that plasma liquid in our body freezes at about -1.7. So obviously it takes a while for the water temperature to get inside, but when you dive into -1.2 Celsius, the fluids in your hands and your arm react quite quickly to that temperature because you cool very quickly. The skin adapts to the environment temperature quite quickly, and it starts getting into your fingers, and you can feel its pain. Yeah, I don't know how to describe it in a better way. It's just very unpleasant pain, specifically in your fingers. Sometimes in your feet, some people get it more severely in the feet. For me, it's my fingers. Because it's so cold, the muscles don't speak to each other properly. There are thousands of muscles that communicate with each other with electric pulses. And I personally can really feel like someone is zapping me a little bit with electric pulses, because I can feel that something is not operating properly inside my muscle. They don't talk to each other properly. There's a little bit of electric shock that goes through your arm when you swim. I'm very scientific about these kind of things. You know, I calculate the risk. I've done it many times. I've seen a lot of thousands of people doing it and doing it well. So that is not the risk. The main risk is your heart, basically. That's to a certain extent the real risk. If something's going to go wrong there, but I'm not worried about my fingers or, you know, so you lose sensation for a few months and it comes back. It's fine, you know. You actually appreciate it. Suddenly you have sensations in your fingers, you know. It's the first time that I swam a mile in 0 degrees in the Arctic. We all lost sensation in our fingers, most of our fingers, basically, from top to bottom. And it took about 6 months gradually for the sensation to climb up until I got my sensation back at the tip of my fingers. And, you know, it's like someone taking something away from you, and every day you're feeling better and better. So it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Feeling my fingers again.
I've got to ask you, because the co-presenter of the podcast, Vicky Carter, she's hoping to be an inductee into the Ice Mile Club this winter. And have you got any advice for her?
Why? So it's quite interesting, because I know quite a few people who's done Ironman and swam the English Channel and think that an Ice Mile is more difficult. For me, I think I'll do an Ice Mile any day than swimming the English Channel, because I dread marathon swimming mentally. It's mentally. I have no idea what to do with myself for 13, 14 hours and what to think about and how to switch off my brain. My brain is buzzing 24/7. So I see Ice Mile easier in some way. And I think if you trained and if you've done the English Channel and you didn't happen to do it on one of these unicorn days that made you think that the English Channel is actually not so bad, it's an easy swim. If you've done it on a proper day, you can do an Ice Mile. There is no doubt. There are two things that probably you need to check. First of all, if you're healthy, because what happened in Ice Mile specifically, it's almost like an accelerated experience. Things happen very quickly. Take the English Channel and put it in 30 minutes. Everything is very condensed. And when you start feeling like, oh dear, I'm getting heavier and everything, things happen fast. So make sure you're healthy. That's the most important thing, because anything else, if you don't finish, you don't finish. If you get pulled out, it's fine, as long as you're healthy and you don't take stupid risk. We take calculated risk, massive calculated risk, but they calculate, not stupid. The second one, how do I explain it? I try to explain it to people sometimes. If you were ever riding a horse or had a dog, if you show fear to the horse can smell that you're afraid and will challenge you. The same as a dog. If the dog feels that you're scared of the dog, he might bite you, if it's a biting dog, whatever. I at least go into the water with the mindset of, I'm here. I'm scared, but I'm fearless. Now, don't be afraid of the cold. If you get cold, don't let it mess up with your mind. You are going to get cold. Enjoy the cold, because there's nothing you can do about it. The only thing you can do about it is your breathing. Get your breathing right. Make sure that your breathing is right all the time. If your breathing is not right, you're going to get into trouble. Make sure your stroke is right, because you have to cover a distance in ice water. So you want to cover it efficiently, spend as little energy as possible, and get to the other side. Don't worry about the cold. There's nothing you can do about it. I'll just finish in that. There's something about the cold and the extreme that brings everyone together. You know, when we, on Sunday, 2 days, we're going to go for our swim in the sea again. Might be 50, 60 people. It's 10 degrees. Some are fast and strong. Some are slow and less experienced. We all look after each other. The minute you're in the water, we all look after each other. It's a very special thing in the eyes that you're never alone.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure, and good luck to Vicky.
Yes, thank you very much.
And to you too. I understand you're next.
So, will you be next, Hunter? I've got you down more as a sauna dipping bay.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I think I'm more at home in amongst the hot coals. How did you sort of feel listening back to that, him describing 6 months of recovery time with not being able to feel your fingers? Is that at all off-putting to you?
Yeah, no, it is scary, and I think it is a really big challenge. I mean, I remember kind of getting this sense of having a pebble between my toes when I was training in Dover when it was really cold. No, it's, yeah, it is, yeah, icy.
So what's coming up on next?
Well, I spoke with my friend Helen about this to get a picture from her. Helen's a passionate ice miler and has done 2 official ice miles and some sneaky unratified ones too. So down the line from her home near London, I started by asking her how I get from swimming about 500 metres at 5.7 degrees to a whole mile at under 5 degrees. This does feel like a really big difference.
And it is a big difference. When you look at the temperatures and you think, oh, well, from 5.7 down to 5, which is what you need, and below, is only 0.7 of a degree. But actually, when you're in the water, that 0.7 of a degree is massive. So any point of a degree is a huge jump. And personally, the way I've done it is just repeat, and swim a little bit longer, swim a little bit further. And I always, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you need to say, don't have a set time or a set distance in your head, because that's when people potentially come unstuck. But you need to have a set time or distance in your head to enable you to improve on those, but know your body.
I did feel really cold this morning in the water, because last week it was seven degrees last week. So this week it did feel really, really cold. And my hands felt, I felt like they were starting to really suffer. How can you kind of tell when it's enough?
So it is about knowing your body. And there is a thought process that says that actually the swimmer's not the best person to judge whether or not they've done enough. Because of the mental and the physical degradation in your mental capabilities and also your physical swim stroke. So I always have someone that's on the bank watching me that knows me. And if I was doing longer swims, they'd stop me and ask me, you know, some general questions to make sure that I could answer them. And they know what my stroke looks like. So if my stroke started to go weird, then they would pull me out no matter what I said. The general gauge is that you obviously, when you get in, you're really cold. Then you kind of warm up a little bit and it gets a bit better after a few minutes. And generally speaking, when you then start to feel really cold again, that's the point at which you should be thinking about getting out, because that's the cold blood in your extremities going back to your core. So I know that I've gone to the lake one day and felt brilliant. The following day, I've gone back and I've got in and thought, oh, I just can't. I had really bad after drop, been shivering, been cold for ages, felt really rubbish. But that's probably because of the run up to that swim has probably been different, either what you've eaten what you've drunk, you know, if you're dehydrated, all of those things, wind chill factor, even if there's the slightest bit of breeze, that's going to make you even colder with your recovery arms getting chilled quicker.
If I was sort of all right for 10 minutes, if I go back tomorrow, could I be aiming for 12?
So if I was you, I would get in and I would say, okay, yesterday I did 10 minutes. I'm going to try and do 10 minutes today and see how I feel. It's about how you feel at that point. So if I'm swimming with someone and they're practicing, I'll stop them every now and again and say, how are you feeling? How are your hands? How are your feet? You know, can you talk? Can you still swim? And just break it down into really short chunks, because it doesn't have to be about tens of meters or hundreds of meters, because the slower you build that resilience up, you know, the more you'll be able to do. I think little and often is better than just going in and trying to smash it and then regretting it because you feel horrible or, you know, something awful happens.
So basically, from where I am now in, you know, because obviously I missed out for lockdown, I couldn't swim at all. In theory, I might still be able to do the ice mile in February this year, would you say?
If you keep dipping at 5.2, you know, as it goes down, absolutely, because the temperatures will go down kind of to December, January, and then they'll start creeping back up again. I think it's important that you do your ice miles within an organised, like, event, rather than doing an ice mile on your own and getting your own support team, getting your own medical person, because the safety requirements under ISO are really stringent. And in my opinion, if you do it under ISA regs at an event, the safety is going to be top notch. So if anything happens, because it is an extreme sport and, you know, it is dangerous.
From Helen, the encouraging teacher and enthusiast, next up is the Olympic swimmer Rostislav Vitek. He's the fourth fastest channel swimmer and is also the fastest man to have completed the ice mile.
We had a catch-up over Zoom where, you can probably tell, I'm slightly in awe of Rostislav and couldn't help ask him how it feels to be possibly the greatest Czech swimmer of all time.
I'm not sure. But what I did in the past, I think it's the best at this moment. Of course, here is also Jana Pečanova. He has a medalist from World Championships and Europe Championships. But I think in this conditions I'm good also, but I'm just enjoying my life and enjoy swimming.
So when did you realize that you were so kind of incredibly good at really cold temperatures, like you have the world record for the ice mile? When did you first start to go below 10 degrees and then below 5 degrees?
Some people ask me about ice swimming. I said, oh, really? I don't like it. No. 14 degrees, it's maximum what I can swim, but I never try in cold water less than 10 degrees. It was in Czech Republic because we have many, many competitions per year. So 1 year I did it, all 1K and a master degree. And the president of the ice swimming here just asked me about ice mile. I said, what about, what is it, ice mile? I don't know, I have no idea. So this is the some, not competition, but you can swim 1600 and more meters in cold water below 5 degrees. And there is a good record. It's a Christoph Vandrasch holding. Yeah, I know him very well from some competitions of around the world, from marathons. I said, okay, I have no experience, but we can do, yeah. And it was during the week. It was they asked me about Wednesday or Thursday, and I said, okay, let's go start that on Saturday. Yeah, the water temperature is still good, so I start, and it was 20 minutes 29 seconds. Yeah,
has it become quite a popular sport in Czech Republic?
Yeah, a lot, especially this year. Many people are just talk for some radios and some newspaper about swimming. I was in the TV about ice swimming. So it's very popular, and many people, not swimmers, but normal people going into the water. But now they're stopping because it's too cold for them. But when was the 8-7 degrees, still goes. But now slowly stopping, and just a few of them can hold it. And
so what happened to your body over those 20 minutes and 29 seconds? And if you could describe to me what it kind of feels like.
It's changing all the time, minute by minute, different feeling. The water temperature was not so hard. It was okay. But I was there more than usually, because usually I swim only 1K and it's around 12 or 13 minutes. So after when I finish 1K and I have one more lap plus 100 something, what I remember, because it's 5 years ago, I remember I just felt good condition, but only in my head, not on my body, because I didn't felt nothing, not feeling the fingers, not feeling my legs, my arms, but I felt only good conditions in my head, and it was good, it was nice.
This is the Swim Out Podcast with Vicky and Hunter.
Our last story this show is about the Hungarian swimmer Attila Manyoki, honoree of the International Marathon Swimming Hall of Fame. He swam the Seven Oceans and holds the record for the fastest crossing of the Molokai Channel in Hawaii, and was the 18th swimmer to complete this epic open water challenge in the fastest time overall.
The final challenge he completed was in the North Channel from Dunochady in Northern Ireland to Fort Patrick in Scotland. On his first attempt, he was pulled from the water unconscious, and on his second attempt, with hypothermia, and went straight to intensive care in Belfast.
With our theme of ice swimming, I started by asking him how it felt to have hypothermia.
It's not funny. look, you know it, that it will come, the hypothermia. You cannot do anything with this. In a trainings, you try to build up your body with the acclimatization, that this longer time will be acceptable for your body. But we cannot lie to our body, that so many times I know it in my head, is something like the similar feeling for me when I have like one or two size smaller clothes over my body. And you know, I don't feel the flexibility. I feel that I cannot move exactly what normally I move.
So it feels like being squeezed.
The shoulder, my arms, the muscles, like couldn't growing because have something outside which is pushing back. You know, it's more harder, more fighter. My muscles is burning. But even with this, I started to feel the shaking. And then I knew it, that the temperature of our body is going down and I'm getting closer to the hypothermia.
And did you actually feel a sense of shake while you're swimming in the water?
Yeah, but it depends of the condition. You know, it was absolutely different when you have a sunny day or you have a cloudy day. Absolutely different is the feeling.
And how long did it take you to get over the hypothermia? I know you were in the intensive care in Belfast. How long was the recovery?
Look, in a hospital, they say to me that my body was around 27 degrees. And I spent, I think, 7 or 8 days in the intensive care. And I spent the extra 4 or 5 days in this different level.
And then how did you get back to swimming? Because it was only a year later that you did your third swim.
One of my problem is because I lost it my left lung from the poison, and that's why I couldn't fly back home. It was necessary to use the car and the train. So it was, you know, any different kind of air pressure different for my body because of the lung. And I think it was approximately 6 weeks, I think, which is absolutely stop everything. And the first time when I swam again, it was in somewhere in October, maybe from November, I started again the normal trainings. But of course, it's the normal trainings. It means that I left to the swimming pool every day, half an hour, 45 minutes. And exactly the normal trainings, it was since of January.
So tell me, what is your normal swimming program?
Look, it's, my average is approximately 10 kilometers per day. And when I have it in a highest training section, then I'm doing approximately 13 or 14 kilometers a day. I do absolutely the same program like any kind of pool swimmer who is training for a competition.
So you've done all the Ocean 7. Which was your favorite swim?
My favorite, the most memorable, I am the most proud, is the North Channel. Because the North Channel is the hardest and the biggest challenge for myself. Also, it can be favorite, is the Molokai, because I the record holder. But something like, I think, in the similar level is the Tsugaru, the Cook Strait, and the Molokai. A really, really nice memory, even that it was very, very hard. But all of them, I say, is not in the same level for me like the North Channel. Is the English Channel, it was my first step in Ocean 7. And, you know, it was a huge dream. I spent so many years in open water. Since of 1993, and I swam in the World Cup series. So I swam and I met so many people. I spent 40 years in a swimming pool with the trainings. All the time I was sure that, oh, I can do it, you know. And when you are there, you will see your limits.
Yeah, the English Channel is a very big one. And which was your least favorite swim?
I have two places I would like to go back because I didn't felt really good myself. It's one of them is Catalina and the other one is the Gibraltar. In Gibraltar, I swam in tandem with somebody and I was a little bit faster. And the other one is the Catalina. It's all the time, so many friends of mine has told me that Catalina is easy. And I don't know, for me, it was terrible.
You wrote in one article that there's a spiritual equilibrium that you seek when you swim, that you become one with your surroundings. Do you have a place that you go when you swim?
I never felt so calm myself like on the day of the swim. Because, you know, it's every day when I fight with myself and when I go to my bed on the night and I can say that I done everything which was necessary. And because every day I can do this over there when I jump in the sea, this kind of background is give me so much power. I did everything which was necessary. It's all the time is, I say, the open water swim is much, much harder in mentally, like in physicalist. I think is most of the people gave up because of the head. I say many times, you know, you don't need to find the enemy because your biggest enemy is yourself. Because all the time when you try to do something, how many times you ask you, can I do it? Because you are not sure that it will be enough. I'm strong enough. I'm fast enough. I'm young enough. Or I'm too old. Or it's too cold. You know, it's all the negative and the bad questions, like enemy, is coming inside of you. And if you step over in this, you are the winner.
So tell me, what is your next challenge? Because I would have thought after achieving such a massive challenge as the Ocean 7, it's quite hard to think of the next thing.
You can find so many places to swim and to fight against yourself. And in this moment, my plan is to swim the Stillwater 8 series. So in the next year, in 8th of August, I do it the first leg. It will be the Zurich leg. And after probably the Loch Ness in Scotland. And also my plan is to do it the Manhattan Circle, you know, to do it the Triple Crown. I feel busy if I looking for the future. So I have so many things to do.
And you don't have a team behind you, and you don't swim with a swimming club?
No, I'm doing everything alone. It's a little bit difficult. Yes, you know, it's especially is the hard, you know, when I'm going to somewhere, like to Ireland or to New Zealand, everywhere, and I'm alone. I haven't a personal contact, like from my family, that somebody is staying next to you, waiting for you. It's all the time, it's a good feeling when somebody look at you, like in a boat, when you do it the English Channel or others, that you trust in him or her 100%, you know, and you must trust in somebody that maybe you never see before.
Yeah, you built a very good relationship in Ireland, though, didn't you, with Pedrick?
Yeah, I feel like a little bit the second family, like Pedrick and Ned in the south. Also in the Donaghadee, the donkey chunkers, they are really fantastic people. They help a lot for anybody who is wants to swim like the channels. This kind of atmosphere and friendship, it's one of the greatest feeling for me. And I don't want to lose it. And it's very important for me.
I trained with Dover Channel Training. To be doing it with a bunch of other people is really, really helpful.
Yes, you know, it's absolutely different, your feeling, when you see other people around you who have the same target or the passion is the same. But only one thing is important, is this movement, this passion, is the contact between us. And nobody cares that who you are. And also for the water, for the sea, it doesn't care about it.
Yeah, I mean, and all you have on, you know, there's so little that can help you. You have a swimming costume, a goggles, the hat, the earplugs. You know, you can't buy a great bit of equipment to help you because it doesn't, you know, you're not allowed to use it.
Yet, if somebody wants to do it the open water, like to swim the channels and this kind of challenges, then I say it's very, very complicated sport. You must care about so many things. But when you are there, you will feel it. The life is how simple. When I'm staying in the middle of the ocean, over there, nobody cares that you are rich or not, which is your religion. It's only things which is important, how much do you want it, you know? And for me, it's so simple. I cannot to say that I couldn't do it because of this and this and this and this. No, only me. To find your peace in your body. And this is fantastic. It's fantastic. And I say only the open water could to give me this feeling. When I swim, no noises and different things. I can focusing only to my body and to the water which is thick around me. I feel so many times that I am the most lucky person, that I can do it exactly what I love, which is my passion, my hobby, and everything together. Because the water is open for everyone. It's the water never say to anybody that, please don't come. The water is invite everybody, any limits and levels. It's just come and enjoy it. Who cares that you are fast or slow? You can swim the English Channel or just 5 kilometers. Who cares? Just do it.
The film, Ocean 7, The Hell of the North, is an absolutely beautiful telling of the story and well worth a watch. We've posted the link on the home site, swimout.net.
Just before we say goodbye, we ask you to share your icy experiences this winter so far.
From as far off as Finland and the Orkney Isles, here's what you had to say on the topic.
Hello, I'm Mari and this is my friend Reka.
Hello, I'm Reka and we are from Helsinki, Finland.
So we are swimming currently in Helsinki city centre in the Eiraranta beach and the water is about 5 degrees and getting colder every day. We don't yet have any ice, and in fact last year when I started cold water swimming, officially doing it every day at the local beach, we didn't get proper ice cover the whole year, so we are very excited to see how it's going to turn out.
The outside air temperature is around sometimes 2, sometimes 4 degrees Celsius, and lately there has been quite a lot of wind also, so it makes it a little bit harder or challenging to swim because there are quite big waves also.
Or the swimming part is not that bad. It's getting out of the water part when you have to dress up very quickly in the cold breeze that freezes your fingers. And our local beach, it's not an official beach, but it's a very popular spot. There are about, I would say, about 30 swimmers every day. I had been going to the sea to swim quite regularly during the summertime, and the water doesn't really get that warm here in Finland anyways, but usually it's combined with sauna. So the challenge for me was to start to swim without going to the sauna, and with that sort of idea that, oh, I can always go back and get my cold feet and toes and arms heated in that wonderful hot humid environment.
So this is my fourth, almost fifth month that I'm swimming also in the sea almost every day.
So when you are swimming in the Baltic Sea, which is really cold, it can get all the way to, well, not zero, maybe plus one before it freezes. It's really important to have proper gear. In Finland, we have, I think, two types of swimmers. We have the ones who quickly come to the beach and dip very quickly, just like 30 seconds into the water. And then there are the ones like us who like to stay there a little bit longer, a couple of minutes up to, I would say, 10 minutes maximum, five to 10 minutes,
okay,
depending.
Mar is a long runner. I'm still up to maximum 4 minutes.
But the worst part is over for you already. Mm. Yeah. So Reka, how does it make you feel when you go for a swim?
When I'm going there, I kind of start to realize that I lose my thoughts because I'm so much focusing on the fact that now I'm going to go into the water. And once I'm in the water, I realize that my mind is completely blank. So I have no thoughts at all. It feels like a restart. I'm going in the morning and I have a blank page when I start the day and I'm fresh.
I always say that the sea is my church and my meditation. So there are no things that bother me, any sorrows that I cannot shake when I go to the sea. So I think it's just the rush of endorphins that comes, that every time you get out of the sea, you just feel very well and happy, and you are happy to be alive.
You know, in this moment, our legs is like 2 and 3 degrees. This kind of temperature is not funny to go in. And I swim, you know, it's 10 minutes, like 15 minutes just for a movement. Yeah. And after 1 hour shaking in a car.
Hi, I'm Jackie. I live in Crouch End, North London, and I swim every day at Parliament Hill Lido on Hampstead Heath. When I'm walking towards the pool edge every morning in the dark and the cold, and sometimes the rain, sometimes sleet or snow, I often question my sanity. But once I've persuaded myself to get into the water, I remember why I do it. Swimming in cold water, currently 5 degrees, is a fantastic start to the day. It doesn't give me much physical exercise. My swim is much too short. But the mental boost it gives me, it's very difficult to describe, and once I'm in the water, I'm just concentrating on keeping afloat, really, and any physical and mental problems just seem to float away. And of course, it's particularly important at the moment in these very strange times. It just feels like a little bit of normal every day, and I'm very grateful for being able to continue to do this.
My name is Sarah Nokoy, and I live in Orkney, which is a collection of islands off the top of Scotland. I started sea swimming in January of 2019, so the water was about 6 degrees, just above the ice swimming temperature, and I was warned on my first day that it would become very addictive, which it really did. That was so accurate. I love the cold. In fact, the colder the better. Earlier this year, before lockdown, I actually had my first experience of swimming in ice, and it was exhilarating. I was high all day. In fact, when people at work said, "Hi, how are you?" I instantly replied with, "I swam in ice today." And I love the afterglow that you get from when you're coming out of cold water. So that feeling of just warming up slowly and almost like a burning sensation when you've come out of the water. I can't get enough of it. I swim in cold water as many days of my life that I possibly can, usually 4 or 5 times a week. I wouldn't change it for the world. I love it. It's as natural to me as walking a dog now.
Thanks to Mari and Rekha, Attila again, plus Jackie, and finally, Sarah Kennedy Norcoy, whose wonderful book, Salt on My Skin, is available widely and who we hope to speak to in Series 2. Thanks to everyone who's listened in from around the globe. It's been a busy but awesome year. We've produced 270 minutes of swimming content, had listeners from over 31 countries, and made a lot of friends along the way.
Next series, we'll be diving back into the open water with more intrepid interviews and a whole host of aquatic stories.
Until then, assuming I thaw out,
swim out,
swim safely, and see you next year.
Check out the hook while DJ revolves it. Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother. Ice, ice, baby, too.